because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Come on, Jehovah Jireh, Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi. Oh Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. And Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Come on, because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Yeah. Because of who you are, I give you praise. And because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi. Lord, you reign. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. And Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh Lord, I worship you because of who. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi. Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign in victory. Hey, my. Oh Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh Lord, I worship you because of who. Lord, I worship. Lord, I worship. Say it. Oh, 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 oh. Worship you because of who you are. Praise the Lord. Come on, worship him this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love him because of who he is. Amen. He means the world to each one of us. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 112. Praise the Lord. When I read this morning, I thought, what a marvelous, wonderful scripture reading this is. It speaks a lot about us. It speaks a lot about the Lord. Amen. Our Psalms reads, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light and darkness in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, Father, we bow humbly our hearts and our heads before you, because you are a gracious God, a mighty King, Lord. Father, the lover of our souls, Lord God, and you have provided a way for us, Lord, that we may have this opportunity to come before the throne of mercy and grace, Lord, to worship you, Father. And what a privilege it is, Lord God, to worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord. I pray, Almighty God, that you come in this place and fill it with your glory, Lord. Fill every heart with your glory, Lord. Bless every person here and everyone that's under the sound, Lord, of the voice that'll be streaming in this morning, Father. We ask, oh God, that you anoint us together, Lord God, that we may be fully consecrated unto you. Almighty God, we ask, oh God, that you would anoint our pastor, Lord. Bless his heart indeed, Lord, as he bring forth the word of the living God to your children that has believing hearts, Lord, that we may rejoice in you and be glad, Father. Walk out better Christians than we were than when we enter into this place. Have your way, Lord God, as we surrender all things into your hands. It's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise. Water you turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Come on, let's sing that verse again. Water, oh, water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. No one, no, none like you. Our God is greater. God is stronger. Say, God, you are higher than any. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God, oh. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No, none like you. Our God is greater. Say it. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God is greater. Say it, saints. say, God, you are higher than any our God and healer. Yes, you're awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? Come on. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? If our God, hallelujah. Then what can, oh, if our God, hallelujah. And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? What can stand against? What can stand against? Come on. And if our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? What can stand against? What can stand against? Our God, say, our God, He's stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's awesome in power. Amen. He's our healer, our provider, our protector, all in all. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. You may take your seats. Brother Troy, will you come and give us a special this morning? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Pray for him. I haven't sung this song in a while, but I feel led to sing it this morning. Amen. How many got a made up mind? Amen. Amen. Mine's made up. That no matter what comes or what goes, going all the way. Amen. With a made up mind, with a made up mind, I'm willing to go all the way through, if it costs my life. I'm willing to sacrifice. I've got heaven in my view. With a made-up mind, with a made-up mind, I'm willing to go all the way through. If it cost my life, I'm willing to pay the price. I've got heaven in my view. If it means that I have to walk alone, or that my friends become few, I'm not gonna worry about what others may say or do. I've got heaven in my view. I got a made-up mind, a made-up mind. Every day, hallelujah, hallelujah. If it costs my life, I'm willing to pay the price. I've got heaven in my view. If it means that I have to walk alone, or that my friends become few, I'm gonna worry about what others may say or do. I've got heaven in my view. With a made-up mind, with a made-up mind, I'm willing to go all the way through. And if it costs my life, I'm willing to pay the price. I got heaven in mind. I've got heaven in mind. I've got heaven in my view.
Praise the Lord. Do you have a made-up mind this morning? Amen. We're going all the way with Jesus. Amen. There ain't no turning back. There's nothing to go back to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's turned every bridge back to the way that we used to be. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. We're going to sing this little song together. I won't go back. Amen. We're not going back. We're moving forward. Amen. We're going to invite our pastor to come. And peace, grace, and favor. Come on, let's sing it again. I've been changed. Here, oh, free. grace and favor. And right now, today, I've been changed. Say, I've been changed, and I have waited. And I won't let it pass me by. So we say, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came. And say, I won't go back. Oh no, oh no, to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. Say all my shame and guilt, sins forgiven, and my past. No more shame. My past is over. Say right now, today, I've been changed. Say I've been changed, and I have waited. And I won't. Say, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back. Oh, to the way before your presence, hey, never going back. Say, never going back. I am never going back. I am never going back to the way it was. Never going back. Whoa, I'm never going back. Oh, never to the way. Hallelujah, never going back. Yeah, I'm never. Oh, yes, I'm never going back to the way. Come on, sing it again. Never going back. Whoa. Yeah. Never going back. Oh, to the way, to the way. To the way it was, to the way. It, to the way, to the way it was. Oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Your presence came. Oh, I won't go back. Hey, hallelujah. Before your presence, for your presence came and changed me. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed be his holy name. I won't go back to the way it used to be. Thank God for freedom. Thank God for deliverance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. Certainly good to be in God's house once again. Amen. Just want to make a few announcements before we would go forward. Amen. In the service, we want to wish our brother Stephen a happy birthday today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for giving him another year. Amen. Here, we thank God for that. And also, brother Christopher, amen. I believe it's brother Christopher Samuel, who'll be celebrating a birthday on Saturday the 11th. Amen. So thank God for giving him also another year. We had just a little malfunction with our slide on Wednesday night, but I'm glad that you all came to 9 o'clock. And amen, we also have a 12 o'clock service, but I think there's a little confusion. Thought it was only going to be one service, but we're still doing the exact same thing we have been doing all along. And that's a 9 a.m. service and a 12 p.m. service on Sundays. We'll continue to do that, and amen, until we see things change. I know that, man, they are just kind of ramping up efforts to get everything open, regardless of the consequences. More cases and everything that's just kind of coming out of nowhere, and not really sure what's triggering it all. But we want to just keep everybody safe, and amen. Well, so we continue to do what we have been doing. So also Wednesday nights we will be doing our service virtually as well. So keep that in mind. This Friday night I want to do a testimony service, but we'll do it virtually. Now I understand. By doing it virtually, doing it on the, I don't know why, I just keep losing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe just lower me a little bit or something, and I'm just losing my connection here. But as we're doing this virtually, I need to just make sure everybody knows that you're on your computer, on your telephone, your iPad, or whatever, and we can see you. You can see us. So make sure that when you're doing things virtually, that you're dressed appropriately. Praise the Lord, amen. Some of us dress different when we're at home, and that's your house. I ain't messing with you about your. But just know if you go on live on camera, please, you know, act like I'm at your house. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Glory to God. Don't make me get up and have to leave the house. All right. And, you know, one young lady forgot she was online, and she decided to, she had a Mother Nature call. Don't take your phone with you. Praise the Lord. Leave it outside. Glory to God, somebody. We don't want no embarrassing moments. So, amen. Just need to remind people, you are online. You're online. There's a camera there on your phone. So we just want you to just be careful of that. But we want to, I'll be sending out the link, amen, for everyone to be able to get on. I'll send it out this week, so you'll have access to that. But we're looking forward to just fellowship around just some testimonies. And again, if you have something that you'd like to share, something the Lord's done for you, especially during this season, something the Lord's done for you, if you got something you want to share, then please make sure you get to me so we can get you included, amen, in that time of testimony. All right. Regarding our giving, amen, those that are joining us online, we thank you for joining us. You do have an opportunity to give along with us that are here inside the sanctuary. Those inside the sanctuary, you can use the giving box there on the table, or if you desire, you can use the online methods as well, where we have Cash App as well as PayPal. If you want to use Cash App, the church's Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT or $SpiritandTruthT. Also for PayPal, just make sure you choose giving to a friend or a family member. And the email address that you would send it to is giving@john423.org in PayPal. So keep that in mind, amen. And if you also desire just to send it, amen, via email, you can do that. I'm sorry, via regular mail, you can do that too. The church's address is there on the bottom, as well as it's on our church website, www.spiritandtruthtabernacle.org. So let's pray over our giving. Amen. And after that, I'd like to give you an update on our building fund. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to give to you as you have given to us. We trust, oh God, that you would, Lord, you'd be magnified and glorified in all that we do. Thank you, Lord, for your steady hand in providing for us through the midst of these troublesome times. You have proven, God, to be Jehovah Jireh. And God, we as we cheerfully just bring our tithe and offering to the house of the Lord, God, we pray that you would just bless, amen, all that we set our hands to do. And may you use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Also, I did want to thank everyone for their contributions towards some of the upgrades that we want to do with our sound. The Lord has blessed. Amen. I think we have purchased, there was a list that I saw that Brother Quentin wrote, and we might have had about seven or eight things on that list that we want to purchase. And I want to say seven of the eight have been purchased already. Amen. Amen. There is one last thing that we desire to do, and that is one additional microphone that actually is a clip-on. We got to be a blessing to Brother Troy. Brother Troy, stick it up here like this, and Brother Quentin was sending texts last week, like, please tell Brother Troy to pick up the mic. Brother, you know, so we gonna get a clip-on, right? But the type of clip-on mic that we had a couple that we had bought, and we when we bought them, they just didn't last long. We went the inexpensive route. Let's just put it that way, and they just didn't last long. So this time, we really want to get a good microphone, and it will cost us, you know, that's why I said it's about $4,000 for all these things that we're going to purchase. But the microphone's the last thing, and it's roughly about $800 for this microphone that we're looking to get. So that's the last thing that we want to purchase. And after that, I mean, the cameras that we wanted, they're here. We'll just need to install them. There's some other things that we had to do. There's some new software that you all might not recognize yet, but as you're seeing the words on the screen, that's new software because we upgraded the computer, and then the software that we were using didn't work anymore with the upgrade. So we had to buy some new software in order to get it back to where it was. Now we can add new songs and things like that. So we've accomplished a lot. This piano was accomplished. And I looked at all this checklist. I'm like, Lord, in the midst of a pandemic, my God, thank you, Jesus. So, you know, I know if God did all that, he'll take care of the microphone as well. So that's our desire, just to get the microphone. And like I said, it's about $800. And that's it. Amen. For right now. And our plan is to take all this into this new building that God got for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just give you an update on the building fund drive. Amen. As to where we are. And God is good to us. God is good. Last month, we received donations of $2,047, amen, for the building fund, donations of $2,047. And with that, it has pushed us closer to our goal. Our goal was $105,000 per year, amen. Our pledges that came in towards that goal was $60,009. Those were the pledges. And then what has been received year to date is $17,192.09. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. And we also have still been gaining interest, not much, but we're still getting positive interest. And that's we've accumulated $276.08 on the interest. And which gives us a net, because I just thank God that we haven't had to use all this time that we've been using, been saving for the building fund. We have not had to use $1 towards, amen, our normal bills. And God bless you. And I believe that's because the saints have a revelation. There's three types of giving. There's, amen, tithing that God requires of us. He said, give 10% of our earnings, and we do that. We don't sell chicken. Amen. We don't wash cars. We don't do anything. We just pay our tithes and our offering. And those two are separate things, right? So tithing is 10%. Offering is whatever you want to give to God, right? And because you have embraced tithing and offering, we have not had to borrow any money from the building fund in order to pay our normal bills. God has been meeting that need every month. And the other thing that God did at the beginning of this year, I used to come and tell y'all how we behind a little bit. We about 3 weeks behind on paying our rent, but God has shifted it. Now we like 2 weeks ahead. Come on, somebody. Glory. Amen. They not waiting on us now. We walking up with the check in our hand. And glory to God. We'll see you next month, God willing. Hallelujah. Now, I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. But on the other side, with what we pay in rent, I know we can afford a mortgage. And my faith is on the line that God is going to provide for us, amen, a mortgage. So thus far this year, amen, $17,468.17 for our building fund. And that's, again, that's for this year. You all are aware that we have money from, 2018, 2019, and now we're in 2020. We voted on a 3-year plan, and we at the end of this year, that's what we voted on. So that's where we'll stop, and God gonna do the rest. Amen. You just do what you committed to the Lord to do, and then let God do the rest. Hallelujah. Amen. To me, all this is positive. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Well, I that concludes that. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Thank you very much. We will prepare to go into the word of the Lord on today. Amen. Let me... let me invite you to stand to your feet. We'll just read a couple scriptures. Praise the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, okay. All right. Give me a second here. Something I want to do a little different today, if the Lord would allow us. We are still in our journey. Amen. Here in catching the vision, and I'm just picking up just a pretty much paragraph by paragraph as the angel Lord laid it out, and I'm trying to gather inspiration on the various paragraphs. So I thought it was very remarkable. There's a quote that I'll read today that I believe connects very well with our American history, and being that July 4th was just yesterday, and Independence Day and things of that nature. Many celebrate the independence, and I thought that there was something that was very in the prophecy. There's something that just kind of connected, and what I plan to do today is just take my time with this thought. I got a number of notes, so I won't rush through it, amen, but if whatever I don't finish, I'm going to preach the second service and finish it up in the second service. So just bear with me, amen, on today, and we just trust that the Lord will get all the glory and all the honor, amen, from this. So let's read from 1 Kings chapter 16, amen, 1 Kings chapter 16. And I'm going to start reading at verse 29, amen, on this. Praise God. All right. It says in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Amen. My God, what a, I can't call it a legacy, but what, you know, what statements are made by about this man, amen, as the leader. So we want to just use that as our basis, amen, on today. And I want to use a title of History is Repeating Itself. Amen. History is repeating itself. Let's pray, amen, over the word of the Lord today. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you also for a prophet that had the ability to go into Scripture and show us things that we would probably never even look at. God, we're grateful that we could fellowship around this truth in this hour. And my prayer is that you would just give us revelation, give us inspiration, give us truth, oh God. And we'll know the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. So God, take complete control over this portion of the service. And may you get all the glory and all the honor from our gathering here. Those that are online, speak to them right where they are. Minister to every heart and to every need. God is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So we want to use, amen, for our title again, History is Repeating Itself. And if you just bear with me a little bit, we want to just kind of take our journey through some things here the prophet told us. Let's start, amen, in the sermon, The Rejected King. Amen. The sermon, The Rejected King. The prophet makes this statement, says, "There is not a man, there is no son of Kish, or no one else that can produce, no one else can produce that outside of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But we have made schools, we have made seminaries, made organizations to satisfy and to look like the rest of the world. Now, the Holy Spirit used to be the leader in this nation." I like that. The Holy Spirit used to be the leader in this nation. It's impossible for people to still claim that we are a Christian nation. Amen. We're no longer a Christian nation with some of the things that we have done. Some of the laws that we have passed make us non-Christian. If we were a Christian nation, we would still be following the principles of Scripture. Christians follow Christ, Jesus Christ. And if we're not following his teachings, we cannot call ourselves a Christian nation. Amen. What it is that we're trying to, amen, stand on, amen, what God did for the forefathers. And God did some great things for the forefathers, but it's a different day now. And what I want you to understand, God don't have grandchildren.
Amen. God has sons and daughters. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So he says this, the Holy Spirit used to be the leader in this nation. This nation used to be governed. Hallelujah. When they wrote up the Declaration of Independence and there was an extra chair sitting there, there is not one speck of doubt in my mind, but what the Son of God set at the table there, hallelujah, amen, he says, set at a table when this nation was founded upon the principles of freedom of religion, hallelujah, amen, that God was so, amen, particular about the U.S. being what it is, that he had his very presence at the time that they were signing the Declaration of Independence. I remember someone saying that on the $2 bill, if you ever get one of those, you can look on the $2 bill. There was one man in the room with a hat on his head. Amen. Nobody else had a hat on his head. And I believe that was God himself standing there trying to make sure that this nation became what it is today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. Even scripture speaks about this nation. Revelation 13 talks about this nation. So it was very important for us, amen, to be established because there was promises in scripture that was written about this nation. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that have happened in the nation that we're not happy with. We don't agree with, but yet there were scripture promises that this nation would be a nation. All right, glory. Let's look at this. He says, what the Son of God set at the table when this nation was founded upon the principles of freedom of religion and freedom to all. Hallelujah. Amen. And upon the basis of God's eternal word. But we have corrupted that. It was established on these things, but we have corrupted that. Politics, we have voted man in there under buying and selling and promises of falsehood. Ain't one politician been able to keep his promise yet. Hallelujah. Not all of them. But here it says promises of falsehood until our nation and our politics and our democracy is so polluted, it's interwoven with communism and all kinds of isms. We used to think we were a democracy, but it's interwoven, amen, with communism and all kinds of isms. The prophet said this, 1960. Look, he says, and many times we call into sessions for prayer when leagues of nations meet in there to have discussions. And in one great time recently, there was not even one time called for prayer. How are we ever going to settle differences without prayer? Jesus. We ain't gonna get nothing fixed until we get back on our knees and begin to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and it does not stop there. Turn, praise God. Turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal the land. That's what we were built on. Hallelujah. That's what made America, America. Jesus. We're going to have to get back to prayer. George Washington didn't even fight battles until he prayed. Praise God. My God, my God. Woo, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. How are we ever going to settle differences without prayer? How can we ever expect in all the world to ever do anything without the leadership of the Holy Spirit? He says, but let me say this with love and respects to our nation and to its flag and to the republic for which it stands. Hallelujah. Glory. One nation under God. Praise God, amen. And you know, I mean, today people are confused. They're like, well, which God? Because there's so many different gods. See, you know, because of our freedom of religion, a lot of other religions have been able to come into, amen, this land and just kind of do some of the things that they want to do. Right? A lot of other religions. And now people are confused about which God that they serve. If you want to know which God that our forefathers was talking about, go back to the Bible. Because that's where they established things on scripture. They're not confused about which God they were serving. Go back to the Bible. You'll find out which God they were serving. Right. Hallelujah. When they wrote these things, one nation under God, they talk about the God of the Bible. Yes, all right. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. It says, let me say this with love and respect to our nation and to its flag and to the republic for which it stands. We have rejected leader of the Holy Spirit, and through corrupt politics have brought in men of perverse mind. And if you don't watch, they're going to make one of the most fatal mistakes they've ever made right now is because that the people are desiring man to rule. Oh, can I just, you know, I'm just preaching what the prophet said. Right. Amen. We desire man to rule. No man, I don't care who he is, can be our savior. Hallelujah. Everybody, no matter which party goes into office, I'm not putting my faith in no party. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The man got one Christian principle. Hallelujah. Maybe do one Christian thing and everybody thinks something greater than this man. He do all this other wickedness. Come on, somebody. And we overlook the wickedness. Amen. We are not a Christian nation. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. A man just got saved yesterday and running for president today. Give him time to prove himself. Prove his Christianity. Glory to God. I got to say these things. See, you know, let me just read. I'll get so far ahead of myself, but let me just read. I want to say some good things because Brother Branham said in order to be American, I have to be identified right with a glory, yeah, and with a shame. It says I was identified with George Washington when he was fighting the British. It says I was identified with Paul Revere when he read, start yelling, the British are coming, the British are coming. Amen. And he made a statement, I believe, Patrick Henry, I think, the one that made the statement, give me liberty or give me death. He says I was identified with those men. I was identified with Abraham Lincoln. Praise God. When he said, no, I say God made man made slaves. Say one day by God's grace, I'm going to hit that thing. And he hit it. Praise God. He lost his life because he hit it. Amen. But I'm identified with Abraham Lincoln. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Brandon said we identified when they went to Guam and they hoisted the flag up on Guam. Those soldiers went battling just trying to claim some territory. He says I'm identified with them. Amen. I'm identified with every negative thing that has happened in this country. Praise the Lord. Slavery, I'm identified with it. Amen. I don't agree with it, but I'm identified with it. Hallelujah. When they drove out the occupants, the Indians, I didn't agree with it, but I identify with it. Amen. Brother Branham called Geronimo a hero. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He was just fighting for his principle, fighting for the land that God had given him. Nothing wrong with that. I'm identified with Geronimo. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm identified with many of the things. He said, but in order to be a Christian, I got to be identified with all the Bible characters. It says I'm identified with Moses when he crossed the Red Sea. Says I'm identified with the Hebrew boys when they overcame the fire in the furnace. Amen. I'm identified with Daniel, with Daniel when he defeated the lions in the den. I'm identified with David when he went out and defeated Goliath. Come on, somebody. He says I'm identified with Jesus when he went to the cross. Amen. I'm identified in his death. I'm identified in his burial. But I'm also identified in his resurrection. Praise
praise God, in order to be a Christian, you must be identified with the resurrection. Glory to God. Amen. Those are Christian principles that we stood on. Amen. I'm identified with her glory and her shame. To call myself an American, I got to be identified. Amen. Amen. I can't erase history like it did not happen. These things did occur. Amen. And it's good to teach history. That way history won't have a strange way of repeating itself. All right. I'm identified with some of the patriotic songs that have been created here in this land of the USA. Hallelujah. And recently we were at home just going through YouTube and just looking at a whole bunch of different people singing the national anthem. Good God Almighty. We stumbled upon B.B. Winans. And B.B. Winans starts singing, you know, the national anthem. I can't even think of the words right now. I should have printed them out. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light, and what so proudly we hail by the twilight's last gleaming and the rocket's red glare, something bursting in air gave proof through the night. Now, that was written, amen, out of some real perilous times. It was a war going on, and when them people just woke up the next morning and saw all this, amen, they say, say, can you see? It meant something to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But, you know, and they get that, bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? And I'm going to tell you, I listen to them when they start getting to that part. For the land of the free, boy, you got to hit it. And the home of the brave. Bring it home, praise God. Amen. And B.B. Winans got a hold of that. The people just mesmerized. They was sitting there because he done made it gospel to them. Oh, Jesus. After he made it gospel, they like, one fella just put his hands up like he was in church. My God. Hallelujah. But it's something about them songs. Amen. As an American, I'm identified with it. I'm identified with the glory and the shame. Praise God. One of the ladies just couldn't stop it. Just hands lifted like, are we in church now? They done took a patriotic song and made it gospel. My God, my God. Hallelujah. But there's another one that just blesses my heart. Amen. And I'm identified. Oh, beautiful. For spacious skies. For amber waves of grain. For purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Those words were written in 1911. Amen. And it was from a lady by the name of Catherine Lee Bates. And she penned this song. She actually had three different revisions, and that's the final revision of the song. And the way the lady got the inspiration to write the song, she took a train ride from Massachusetts to Colorado Springs. And as she just looked over the land, amen, because you're going to different areas of the U.S. and it's just it's a lot different. Here we don't have no mountains. But to get out of some of these other places, see the beautiful mountains. And amen, you get all the way over to California, see where the mountain meet the ocean. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some beautiful places in America. And as the lady was just driving on the train, she said inspiration just struck her. She just began to pen verse by verse what beautiful America was all about. But she never actually found a tune for it. She just had a poem that she wrote. Hallelujah. And she published a poem on July 4th. Amen. I forget which year, but it was published in the poem was initially published 2 years later in the Congregationalist to commemorate the 4th of July. And it quickly caught the public's fancy.
mine. And not only that, then the music came by, it was composed by a man who was a church organist and a choir master. Amen. His name was Samuel A. Ward. He was part of the Grace Episcopal Church in Newark, New Jersey. The two people never even met. The lady that wrote the poem and the man that wrote the music, neither one of these two people met, but yet their music came together. Her lyrics and his music came together, and it created this great patriotic song. I appreciate moments like that in our history. I appreciate it. But I want to just say history is repeating itself. There was a prophecy given over the land of America in 1787 by this gentleman. His name was Alex Tyler. He was a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh. And at the time of America's birth, he wrote a warning to America in 1787. He says he observed that the average age of the world's greatest civilizations was about 200 years, and during which they inevitably progressed through the following sequence. And this is where we are. They start from bondage to faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we think about some of my forefathers that couldn't worship in freedom there in Europe, they came here to America so they could worship. Some of the Quakers and things like that, they left there where they've been persecuted for their style of worship. They came here for freedom of worship. Amen. So they go from bondage to faith. But then they go from faith to courage when they were fighting for this land, fighting for our independence, that faith to courage to fight. Amen. And from courage, then they go to liberty. They were liberated because they actually fought, right? And then from liberty, they go to abundance. And we've seen that, amen, here in the land of America. When they go from abundance, they go to a place of complacency. And what complacency is self-satisfaction. Now, I want to just read a quote. I'll stop at that abundance to complacency, but I'll come back and read a little bit more. Amen. I want to read a quote from the sudden secret going away of the church.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory.
All right. The prophet says this. So now that's the way the church ought to be watching. For the coming of the Lord, all in order, all ready, all packed up and ready to go as soon as he comes. Because it'll be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Just try to time how long it would take your eye to twinkle. That's just how quick the rapture of the church will take place. You know, the enemy always uses the tactics that the Lord uses. You know, when he seen that God was going to have a righteous church and the things that he was going to do, the enemy used that same strategy. Look at this. He's got a church. He's got a people that's very religious. Hallelujah. And they're just right on the toe as religious people because he knows that Christ's church is the same way and he does it out in military life. Look at what the prophets say. He does it out in military life. He says, I was reading an article, amen, some time ago on the sudden attack on Pearl Harbor. That wasn't no exactly an unknown attack. He says they had already been warned that the Japs were going to do that. But the sad part was they ignored that warning. Now I'ma have to inject this because with us facing this virus, I wonder had we been warned, and if there was something other things that we could have done to prevent what has happened in our nation. To prevent what has happened, amen, in the entire world.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. The numbers in Israel are very low. They did something different. Praise God. Amen. And like I said earlier, we got leaders that don't even care about the data. They still pushing, amen, going, we're going to third phase. Third phase is more people dying in phase two than ever died. And we're going forward. Hallelujah. Amen. It shows that we're at a particular stage. Oh, God, I don't want to talk about everybody here today. But even our leaders don't want to wear masks. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. See, you got access to different health care than we have. Praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. We got to watch these things. There's spirits in the land. Amen. Look at what the prophet says here now. He says they had already been warned that the Japs were going to do that. But the sad part was they ignored that warning. They had seen signs. And the Japanese army assembling themselves together, and the big ships being loaded with ammunition, and the threat was in the air, and they were just exactly in line for the invasion, but they ignored it. Yes. That's the way it is today with the church. The church is in line of judgment, but they are ignoring the coming of the Lord. Yes. You can't blame them. Now, I told you that, see what happens? They go from abundance to complacency. This is self-satisfaction, feeling like, amen, they're so great, there's nothing can happen to them. Hallelujah. That's how the Titanic sunk. Hallelujah. Right? And I want to tell you, this nation is headed towards judgment. I'm just letting everybody know that right now. Israel, when they got away from God, went to judgment. They were a blessed nation, but they ended up in Babylon. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. History has a strange way of repeating itself. All right, let's go forward here a little bit. I want to, you know, Brother Branham made a comment there, and amen, he said how Satan liked to mimic what God does. And what he does, he knew that God would have a righteous church, so Satan built his own church. Hallelujah. Satan built his own church. Now, that statement can be justified when you read Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, where he speaks to the churches there. And each age, let's just start with the Ephesus age, being the first age. At the end of the age, he say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Right. Now, think about it. If he's only writing to one church in Ephesus, why does the Spirit say, amen, amen, let him hear, let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. Hallelujah. If he's only writing a letter to one church, amen, but yet the Spirit says, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. I want to make sure you get that. Because in each church age was both a false church and a true church. Satan was copying what God was doing. Throughout each age, Satan was copying. So here's the problem. We get our eyes as Americans on the false church. And we fail to see what God is doing in the true church. We got to keep our eyes on the church that's staying with the word. Now, you know why they call themselves a Christian nation? I'm going to read it to you here in a quote. And when you hear people saying we're a Christian nation, amen, we this and we that, and God has blessed America. Hallelujah. 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 It's the truth anyhow, but I'm a little different than everybody. I don't mind standing, amen, because I know that I've been blessed where I'm standing. I hope you get what I'm saying. I don't mind standing because I know I've been blessed where I'm standing. I might not be able to live the life that I'm living had I been somewhere else. Praise the Lord. But this nation afforded me the opportunities. Now, yes, I have been denied some, but I choose not to look at what I was denied. I choose to look at what I was given. And the opportunities that I was given, I have taken advantage of by the grace of God. But when we look at this Christian nation, I want to put it in quotes because it's a so-called Christian nation. Look at this. In the Thyatiran Church Age, paragraph 226-1, the prophet makes this statement, says, now why does God call these churches? Now, at the end of each church age, it says, the Spirit of the Lord says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Stay with that quote. I'm staying right there. It says, let him hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, Brother Brandon's bringing some clarity on why the Holy Spirit, or why God calls them churches. Look, why does God call these churches? His churches, even though, why does God call these churches his churches? Even though they are the vine. Look, say the truth of the matter is that they are Christians. Wow, what a statement. This is what a prophet said about you, America. They are Christians, but they are not. They are not Christians of the spirit. My, they are Christians of the flesh. They are bearing the name in vain. Mark 7:7 says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching doctrines, the commandments of men. We've gotten away from the commandments of God, and now we have the commandments of men. Let me scroll this up. I want to make a comment right there. I just heard an article this week how out in California they have banned for people to sing in church or chant in church. So you can't sing or you can't chant in church. That's a commandment for men. Amen, because the Bible says to me, sing unto the Lord. Brother Jimmy read it this morning. Sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible also said, clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph. So I told some brothers, even if I have to use my mask to sing, I'm going to sing. If I have to use my mask to shout, then I'm going to shout. Because that's a commandment from God. He created me to praise him. Look, I'm not serving a silent God. So I'm not going to serve him in silence. Amen. I hope you caught that. I'm not serving a silent God, so I'm not going to serve him in silence. I'm going to give him his due praise. With the mask or without, I'm going to give God glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. We're not. We can't go with the commandments of men. Y'all not even basing things on scripture anymore. You call yourself protecting the public. But as you protect the public, you forgot the word. Hallelujah. If we just get God involved, start praying over your decisions. Get somebody in there that will pray. And don't make no decision till you hear from God. All right. Look at this now. He says, they are Christians of the flesh. They're bearing the name in vain. Mark 7:7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But indeed they are Christians, for what else could they be? A Mohammedan is a Mohammedan. He said a Muslim is a Muslim. That is his religion, no matter how he lives it, because he subscribes in theory to what the Quran teaches. Hallelujah. In the same way, a Christian is a Christian as long as he subscribes to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, was crucified and died and rose again, that he is the Savior of mankind. See, every knee gonna bow and every tongue gonna confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. It says, in fact, in the Laodicean age, there will be those who call themselves Christians, but they subscribe to the fine qualities of Jesus while reserving to themselves the right to deny his deity. That's where we're at, church. That's where we're at. Christian scientists have done that already, as well as multitudes who preach a social gospel. See, everybody want to hear that. They don't want the truth. They want the social gospel. It says, he is a nominal Christian and belongs to the church, but he is not a true or spiritual believer. That kind of believer is one who has been baptized into the body of Christ and is a member of him. But nonetheless, it is in God's order that the tares grow up with the wheat and they are not to be uprooted. Hallelujah. That is the command of God. Their day for binding and burning is coming, but not yet. Now, I go on in this quote. It says, so the Spirit is speaking to this mixed group. On the one hand, he is praising On the other, he is rebuking. He is told what is right with the true believer. Now he warns what the false vine must do if it is to stand justified before the Lord. So as you read in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, and you get towards the end of each age, and you see that verse that says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Realize he's talking in the midst of each age. There is a true group and there is a false group. The true group is identified by the blessings that they receive. Amen. The false group is identified by the rebuke that it receives. Unless you read in between the lines, you'll think it's just one church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it's actually a false church and a true church interwoven together. And that's what we have here in the U.S. They call themselves Christian because they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believe that he was born to a virgin. They believe that he died and rose again. They believe all that, but they're refusing to follow his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's go on here a little further. Now, this is coming from the sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed, Part 2. Amen. This is a continuation of our thought. Amen. This is what the angel wrote to told the prophet to write. And he picked up his pen, he wrote. And this is another part of the thought. Now, look at this. It says, God has promised. Be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. We read this last week. It says, but it must be fulfilled. For it is a dramatized word of God spoken through Malachi, the prophet. Jesus referred to it. Now, before I go too far, anybody that might read that quote and they'll say, Brother Branham said one fulfilled, so we're still looking for a messenger. Be careful. All he just did was the same thing John the Baptist did. John the Baptist, they came and asked him, are you the one? Hallelujah. And John the Baptist said, I'm not the one. Now, was a prophet lying? No, he wasn't lying. They had him as a different one. Hallelujah. John the Baptist, I'm not that one, but I am one. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Yes, now, get your scriptures lined up and you know where I fit. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Get your scriptures lined up, you'll know where Brother Branham fits. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Look at this. It says, for it must be fulfilled, for it is a dramatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. Listen close now. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Bible is to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, we'll plant the seed of the entire Bible, plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the form of rain. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. Now look at this. It goes on and says, people, as Elijah was the first time, to Ahab's time, it will happen here in this country, as this country is a type of people. Look at this. He says, read or hear Jezebel religion. Now, he gave us a little clue there. Mm-mm-mm. The prophet injects that part. Read or hear Jezebel religion. He says, as this country, our forefathers, for worship the way they wanted to, come to this country and pushed out the natives and took over. So did Israel take over when they come up out of Egypt. We had godly men like Washington, Lincoln. They had great godly men as David and so forth. Then they got an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. So have we. Now, when the prophet used so have we, that's a past tense statement. Amen. That's not something that we're looking for in the future. It's something that's already occurred. I want to go to our PowerPoint, amen, slide there if I can. And I'm going to try to do this. I want to just do something a little different. Amen. By God's grace. Here the angel is telling us, just as Elijah came the first time in Ahab's time, the country was in some trouble. Amen. Israel was in some trouble. And God decided to send the prophet Elijah at the time to try to get him straightened out. I want us to just kind of look at this just for a little bit, if we can. He says, when we compare Israel to the U.S., amen, this is what we're doing. A prophet picked this up, and no doubt amen, I would also say that there are probably other countries out there that could pick up the same thing and see how their country is tied into the scripture. Now, I don't know if they can pick up Revelation 13 the way America can. Hallelujah. But there are other similarities how they might type their country in with Israel. Now, the prophet says this. The first thing here is Israel left Egypt to worship in freedom. Hallelujah. Now, if you remember, they were coming out of Egypt and they did all these plagues and everything down in Egypt. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All those plagues was going on in Egypt, but those that were in Goshen never felt a thing. Right. Amen. And lest they fail to follow what the prophet was telling them, then they was in trouble. But if they stayed with what the prophet said, they never felt a thing in Goshen. Right. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We find ourselves in Goshen again. Amen. I'm claiming it. By God's grace, I'm claiming it for the bride of Christ. Amen. We find ourselves in Goshen. We find ourselves in the secret place of the Most High. We find ourselves there. Glory to God. That's why the place can't touch us. Even if a symptom came, I want to encourage you, bind that symptom in the name of Jesus. Don't you accept the package that the devil's sending to you. Amen. Even if you come in contact with it, begin to bind that devil in the name of Jesus. Because this is not just a pandemic. These are pandemonics. That's what the prophet called a pandemonic. These are demons trying to attack the people of God. So bind those devils in the name of Jesus. But here when they were coming out of Egypt, Pharaoh told him, said, now, look, I'm going to give you 3 days to go and worship your God and come back. He said, no, we're not going to worship and come back, and we're not doing this, we're not doing that. We are leaving Egypt. God got a promised land for us. So they was leaving, amen, because they wanted this freedom to express themselves to God and worship. They didn't have a temple down in Egypt. Praise God. They didn't have a special place that they could go, amen, and just freely worship down in Egypt. But when they got into the promised land, these things were established for them. Amen. Freedom of religion. Now here, amen, here in the U.S., our forefathers left the Europe, amen, in order to come here to the U.S. for freedom of worship. Amen. They wanted to live in freedom. They wanted freedom of worship. The Quakers wanted the ability to worship the way God, amen, had given them the worship. These Quakers were, amen, also considered like Shakers. The Holy Spirit was on these people. And they were shaking and just do all kind of things. But yet they wanted this freedom to express themselves. They were coming out from, amen, the oppression of the Catholic Church. They were coming out from, amen, a lot of the stuff that was happening there with, amen, with Catholicism and when Luther being raised up and standing against some of those things, amen, they were coming out during that time. So they come with an expectation that they would have this freedom of religion. Amen. This is a comparison. Yeah. Hallelujah. The angel picks up this next statement and it says they pushed out the natives. Now, when children of Israel went into the promised land, they defeated all the natives that were there. There were other people living in the land. But because of their sin, God said, I'm going to bring my people in. They're going to have to take this land. Now, you know, they took the land little by little. Hallelujah, somebody. And it's the same way the U.S. did. When they come here and they landed on one coast, little by little, they expanded till they gained the entire United States. They pushed the natives out. They pushed the Indians out. They had this thing, amen, it was during the winter months. They call it the Trail of Tears. They had these, the Indians that were here and didn't even have the clothes to take this highway that was made. They were actually making it on their own as they took the Trail of Tears to go west, leaving these southlands, going west. Many of them died on the journey. Kids lost their lives because, amen, they got struck with a plague or they just didn't have the clothes to get through the winter. Hallelujah. Amen. The same way many died in Israel, they had many battles and there in Jericho, the walls came down and God was giving them their promised land. Hallelujah. Israel, amen. What was going on in Israel, we see an exact, amen, comparison to what was happening in the U.S. But you know, also when you read the scriptures in Joshua, There were certain people that never left the promised land. The children of Israel never got rid of them. They stayed there. Hallelujah. Which I thought was a perfect type. Because here, even in Florida, glory to God, we had a group of Indians that called themselves the unconquered. Hallelujah. We need a group of Christians that will call themselves the unconquered. No matter who come against them, no matter what come against them, they refuse to be conquered. Man, these Indians say, we're not going to fight them up here. We know where to take them. We're going to take them down into the swamps. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all want to fight? Come down here to the swamps. And they led these generals right down into the swamp. And when them generals got down there and saw they weren't just fighting Indians, but they were fighting alligators. And they were fighting snakes and fighting everything else. They got their troops and got out of there. The Indians beat them in their land. They refused to allow them to come down and conquer them. They got a big old place down in South, down in Miami area where the unconquered Indians, they celebrate that we never got conquered. All right. And we're still here today. 200 and something years later, we're still on our land. Generation after generation, because they're unconquered. We need Christians that are stand like that. Generation after generation, standing for God, refuse to be conquered by the devil. That's the best freedom you can ever have, is freedom from sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They were unconquered. But yet, you know, the same thing happened. They pushed back the natives in Israel. They pushed back the natives when, amen, our forefathers came here. All of this, but it had to be that way. Glory to God. Now, you know, there's so much happening in our land today. You know, we can't call certain names. We can't do this. I heard something that you can't call it master bedroom anymore. That's what I heard. You can't call it the master bedroom anymore. Hallelujah. Just call it the big bedroom or something. But don't call it master bedroom. We know, I understand what people are trying to do, but I think the level of sensitivity is a little bit too high. It's a little bit too high. Amen. I'm not offended at somebody calling it the master bedroom. It doesn't bother me like it bothers somebody else. Hallelujah. But there's a lot of things changing. Amen. Different sports teams have to change their names, right? Because people have taken the fence level way too high. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right? But here, you know, some of this is history. Amen. Some of this is history. And I'll tell you, like I said earlier, I'm identified with her glory and her shame. I'm identified with the true Americans. I'm identified with the unconquered. Amen. When I heard their story, I got inspired. What? Y'all did not face the trail of tears. I ain't facing no trail of tears either. Amen. I'm going to be unconquered, but this is not, amen, some political thing. This is, I'm talking about the devil. I refuse to be conquered by the devil. Amen. Glory to God. But here, you know, we see these things. Amen. And this other statement that the prophet makes. It says in Israel, God raised up in that nation great leaders like David. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham called him, say, and not only Brother Branham, but the angel said this. It says great leaders like David, etc., was raised up. And here in this nation, men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up. Hallelujah. Now they bring out all the dirt on George Washington. And when they start bringing out the dirt on you, amen, you're no longer a good leader. Let me tell you something. Everybody needs Jesus. Amen. George Washington needed him. Abraham Lincoln needed him. You need him. Amen. But he's still a greater president than what we're seeing, because they say, I mean, in the quote now, what the quote said, amen, we had godly men like Washington and Lincoln. They had great godly men as David and so forth. Then they got an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind them. Now, in order to understand what the prophet said, now he told you go back to Jezebel religion. So what you're going to need to do is go listen to Jezebel religion. And then you'll understand what was in the prophet's spirit. Right? I mean, he was so messed up in his spirit. When he was trying to preach that sermon, Jezebel religion, he told, he come out at the beginning, he said, I don't even want to stay in a hotel again. He says, last night, so much sin going on in the hotel, and they call themselves Christians. Right. He say stuff that you see all over the floor of what they've done, these ungodly acts that they've done, all the sounds and stuff you hear in your bedroom. I couldn't even sleep. Say, I need to bring a tent and sleep out in the wilderness, then come in and preach here. He says, I couldn't even sleep last night. He said, I'm not staying in a hotel no more. Now, can you imagine a prophet coming with his dander up like that and then preaching Jezebel religion? Hallelujah. See, the devil made him so upset that it caused him to preach harder. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. Right? But he was saying a lot there. He was talking about the current president that was in office at that time. And he was saying, this president is a Catholic president. And since he's a Catholic president, that makes us a Catholic nation. If the leader is Catholic, then the rest of us are Catholic. Right. Hallelujah. That's what he was saying in Jezebel religion. So he said, this ain't something coming. It's here right now. And I'm telling you right now, the Catholic Church got some real inroads when it comes to our politics. All right. Men like David raised up a great leader like David. Mighty men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up. I looked at that. David overcame Goliath. David was anointed by God to be king. But before he became king, he went out to battle as a warrior. Oh, hallelujah. Before he became king, he went out to battle as a warrior. Before Washington became president, he went out to battle as a warrior. And do you realize when David was fighting Goliath, everybody was in fear. This was an enemy that was way larger than any man in the kingdom of Israel. And when Washington was fighting the British army, his troops was way less than what the British army was bringing over here. He had no chance at all. But he went out by faith. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, church. Went out by faith the same way David went out. David said, look, I know this guy bigger than I am. Amen. He's been a warrior a lot longer than I've been. Hallelujah. Just like the United States had not been a nation as long. So we didn't have our soldiers is not even equipped to be out there. He went and got people that was watching farms. They were farmers, plowshares and stuff like this. Didn't even have a man shoes for their feet. It was the winter time that they were battling. Hallelujah. In David's day, there are many of them just cowards. As Goliath would come out and make his boast, don't let everybody die. Just send me one man. David happened to be feeding his brothers that day. Hallelujah. Feeding his brothers. He said, now, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? His brother said, now, who you think you is? Now, you know, you come out here trying to do something, trying to show yourself. Trying to be bigger than what you are. Go back home and feed the sheep. Say, who you think you are? I say, now, don't get mad at me without a cause. I want to know who this uncircumcised Philistine is and why y'all running from him. If y'all don't want to fight him, I'll fight him. Hallelujah. David stood up, told Saul his plan. He said, look, I got five rocks and a sling. And I'm going to go out there and take this guy's head off with these five rocks. Saul said, look, you ain't going to be able to beat him like that. You're going to need my armor. So now, look, Saul, if you ain't going to use your armor, why are you going to give it to me? Said, no, let me go with what I've proven. And I took out a bear and I took out a lion. Let me go with what I've proven. And here David runs out, amen, to the battle with his slingshot and his rocks in it. Amen. He say, you might come to me in the name of, amen, your God, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Said, I'm gonna take your head off. Goliath boasted, I'm gonna take your head. I tell you, we're gonna see who head gonna come off. David swung that stone, just one rock, praise God. One rock went into the part of his armor that was not covered, right in the center of his head, took Goliath out. David took Goliath's sword and took his head off with it. Courage. David acted in courage. But you know, George Washington did the same thing. He was facing a Goliath. The British army was coming, and they had us pinned down. They had already won a couple battles, a couple skirmishes. But George Washington, not only was he losing some battles and had to retreat in some instances, he has also had to encourage his men to stay. And one time the men got to a battle and they routed the army, and many of them got courage after they beat the British army. Say, now we got one more battle to fight, guys. And George Washington knew that these men were coming up on their time of being in the military was actually about to expire. So he like, look, I know it's time for y'all to go back home, but if y'all don't mind, just give me one more battle. Give me one more battle. Say, if y'all give me this one battle, we gonna win our independence from Great Britain. Say, just give me one more battle. I promise I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll try to get shoes. I'll do whatever I can. Just give me one more battle. Even though the numbers were against them, the odds were against them. George Washington said, just give me one more. So he finally got a few men convinced, okay, we'll fight with you. Some of them went on back home. But others say, okay, we'll fight with you, George. They come running, amen, to the battle. Hallelujah. And as they went to the battle, here comes the army pressing up against them. And George Washington knew, amen, that they were in trouble. But as his men were getting afraid, and some of them thinking, I should have never come out here following George Washington. What was I thinking? Hallelujah. They begin to turn and run back to try to run for cover. But George Washington, when he saw his men running, he took his horse, went to the center of the battle. Right. Hallelujah. To the center of the battle, turned and looked at his men and said, don't run now. Let's press on into the battle. He said that one act of courage in the midst of all the bullets flying in his direction. The man was a sitting target, but he did not get hit. God was protecting that man at that time. Hallelujah. God was protecting the first president. He wasn't even president. Just like David was not king, George Washington was not president, but yet he was fighting in the battle. You say, don't turn, guys. Don't turn. Everybody, don't retreat, but let's press forward. Say, one guy wrote in his book, he says, I've never seen such courage from a man. He said, something just took over me at that time. He said, look, he said, if we don't win, I'm going to die trying. I'm going to die trying with a man willing to lead like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not one of them leaders like Brother Branham talked about. Squirt a little water here. Squirt a little water there. No, he's a leader that went to the head of the ladder with an axe in his hand. Come on, boys. This is the way into the enemy's camp. Because of George Washington's courage. They said even in his jacket that he was wearing, bullet holes in the jacket. But he never got hit. I'm going to tell you, when God has something for you to do, your purpose. Amen. Your purpose is your protection. He said, bring back men like that. Men that'll go to the battle. Men that'll fight in the battle. Not just men that'll send your children to battle. Come on, somebody. We want men like that. Men with a principle. Fight for a principle. And by the time George Washington got the troops, they was outnumbered, but yet they had a courage. They had a faith that if George Washington do this, we're gonna take this army down. They went out there and took the army down, and at that point in time, Britain surrendered. So, you know, and not only that, there were other nations that were coming to help the British. But when they heard about what George Washington did, they turned on the British. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you look back in Israel's history, there was other nations that got up and left. There was one that was facing David. And they realized how they was being routed. They got up and left the other army. Say, ain't no way we're going to do nothing like this. It took off running back to their country. Hallelujah. See, when God got something for you, there's nothing that can come against you. Amen. See, this is the beginning of who we were. Amen. As a nation. There was one other statement here. Amen. I was talking about how Washington stood in the midst of them bullets, encouraged his men to keep fighting in the battle. Amen. His courage was contagious. Glory to God. Amen. It said great men. Hallelujah. Great raised up nation with great leaders like David, etc. I put Solomon as a great leader. Because even though Solomon, he fell in the end and he did some things, but there were some great things happened underneath. Amen. His time. When he was leading, glory to God, it caused the Queen of Sheba to come from the uttermost parts of the earth to see who this guy Solomon was. He had some tremendous wisdom. He reigned during a time of peace. Solomon, amen, in his time was called the Golden Age. And let me just read a quick quote on that. Amen. This is a message greater than Solomon is here. Glory to God. I might just have to hit escape on that. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'll come back to it in a second. But they're here in the greater than Solomon is here. It says this. Then he come to Solomon in the days of Solomon. It says, now give me your undivided attention for about 10 minutes. In the days of Solomon, it was a golden age. God gave a gift to the earth. It was a gift of discernment. Solomon had a discernment. How many knows that? And he could discern because it was from God. The word of God was with Solomon. He could discern. Well, all the people rallied around that gift. Oh, my. And any minister knows that was Israel's golden age. No wars. And they built the temple. And everything was at peace and everything because they received the gift that God sent. And them days, they didn't have television, thank the Lord. Amen. It says the only thing they had to carry the news was from lip to ear. And every caravan passing through would hear about this great gift. They go over to Solomon's church and look at it, then go back and take it to the nation till his fame scattered everywhere. Now, we'll go back to that slide, and I'll just next it all the way through till we get to a certain point. But, you know, I was saying Solomon was a great leader at this time. It was a golden age, and Brother Branham was referring to the time where he, praise the Lord. All right. One more, I think. All right. Yeah, so Solomon's this great leader, and this Queen of Sheba that's coming to, amen, she heard about this famous Solomon. She's like, you know what? In my church, these things ain't happening. In my church, it's a little dead and a little dry. We don't see the supernatural, but I'm hearing all this supernatural move of the Spirit down there, amen, where Solomon's at. She decided to, amen, to take a journey. It would be 3 months on the back of a camel that she would have to ride. Not only, amen, is she riding on these camels, but she's got a great party that she's carrying with her. And Brother Ram said it was a very difficult time for her to be doing this because as a woman, that was a difficult journey just as a woman. But at this time, there were robbers, amen, in the desert waiting for caravans like this to come. And this lady, amen, if I recall correctly, I believe the woman was carrying a little over $1 million, almost about $1.7 million that she had, that she was carrying to Solomon. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a woman coming to church with a check for $1.7 million? And the reason that she wants to give the check is because she sees a mighty God unveil.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. She say, if when I get there and this man does what I've been told that this man can do, I'm giving everything I got to support it.
Amen.
She come and Solomon's there and, you know, she heard of his wisdom. She heard of all these things. And one of the wisest things that Solomon did was when these two women came to him. Talk about, you know, we both had babies. We were sleeping. And at night, this woman got up and She had killed her baby, rolled over and killed and smothered to death. She got up and took her baby, put it underneath me, and then took my baby, amen, for her. And when I got up in the morning, I saw that my baby was dead, but I recognized this ain't my baby. And this lady say that I killed my baby, and she trying to tell me that she didn't do this. We the only two that was in the house, King. We need you to decide on this. Hallelujah. Solomon already prayed. He asked God for wisdom. Yeah. Amen. Because God said, now I can make you rich. I can do this. I can do that. But what do you want to say? Just make me a wise man so I can judge the matters of the people. He said, because you asked for the right thing, I'm going to make you popular and I'm going to make you rich. Plus, I'm going to give you wisdom. Hallelujah. If you ask God for the right thing, you might get more. Woo, hallelujah. Ask him in the right spirit and the right attitude, you might get more. You're just watching to see how you're going to respond. Glory to God. And as soon as he asks, the very next day he asks, here comes this case in. This woman untold his lie. Solomon said, I tell you what. And everybody looking at the king, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to judge this? King said, bring me a sword. Bring him a sword. Get the king a sword. Bring me a sword. And he got the sword in his hand. Hallelujah. He says, now, since we don't know who baby it is, I'm going to just split this baby in half, and I'm going to give you half and give you half. And when he did that, the mother of the baby say, oh, no, give her the baby. Give her the baby. Don't split the baby in half like that, King. Give her the baby. She can have the baby. I'm okay with it. And then the other lady say, no, split the baby in half. Because you got some people that don't mind splitting the church. Hallelujah. While one is trying to keep it together, you got another one trying to split it. You got to watch those spirits. You'll know who the real mother is. Hey, you'll know who the real pastor is. Because the pastor ain't trying to split the church. The pastor trying to keep it together. But the pastor will try to keep sin out of the church. Say, split the baby. She say, neither one of us will have it, see? And Solomon said, okay, give her the baby. We know who the mama is now. Because her mama wouldn't want to see her baby die. Right. Solomon, with great wisdom, was a great leader during that time. Over here it said, mighty men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up. I put there, President Lincoln lost his life because he was willing to stand against slavery. President Lincoln was a man that when he looked out, he said, God made man, but man made slaves. Hallelujah. I want to read this quote from the prophet, and we'll close this section. Oh, Jesus. Amen. This is out of the message, Hear Ye Him. President Lincoln lost his life because he did not agree with slavery. He freed as many as he could. And there were many that stood against him, even at the time that he freed, especially in Texas. There was a problem in Texas. They didn't let the people know that they were free. Hallelujah. There's a new holiday that they celebrate, Juneteenth, June 19th, because there were some blacks that were still down in Texas that were still bound and didn't realize that they were free. What a spiritual type. Because there's people, not just blacks. I'm talking about all lives. Amen. But there's many that's bound right now and don't realize that they're free. Glory to God. God wants you to realize that, yeah, there's a freedom. There's an independence that you can declare from the devil. The prophet makes this statement in the message, Hear Ye Him. It says, years ago down the south, when they used to take the colored people and sell them for slaves, that never was right. And that's what the prophet said. He didn't agree with slavery either. That never was right. No, sir. God made man. Man made slaves. And they used to come by and buy them poor people just like you would out here on the used car lot. Just get a bill of sales and sell them. There used to be brokers that come by and see those people, and they take those great big burly men away from their wife and breed them to a bigger woman or something or another and bring a better set of slaves. Remember Abraham Lincoln when he took off his hat and pounded his hands like that. Said, that's wrong, and someday I'll hit it. God give us a president like Abraham Lincoln again. Yes, when he said that, he was right. It says, I remember some time ago here in Illinois, I was at a museum, and I seen an old colored man going along there, a little rim of hair around the back of his head. He was looking through a museum, and after a while, he stopped, and he looked, he stooped back, and he began to cry, and tears running down his face. He was praying. I watched him for a few minutes. I walked up close to him. I said, how do you do, Uncle? And he said, how do you do? I said, I'm a minister. I said, I would just like to know why you were praying. What excited you? He said, come here. He says, looked in under a little glass, and there laid a dress. I said, it's a dress. I don't see nothing so upsetting about that. Wouldn't make a man jump back and say a prayer. Now, there's a lot that I could say there. See, Brother Branham hadn't gone through what this man had gone through. So he couldn't identify with why the man was acting the way that he was acting. Praise the Lord. If you ain't gone through what some people have gone through, then you can't identify why they act the way that they act. Praise the Lord. But our actions should still be Christian. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, you know, I was just sharing this with some friends. They was asking me about, you know, what's this, what's that? I said, look, the first thing is you just got to admit certain things are wrong. You got to admit that. I'm not saying that the reaction is right, but the first action was also wrong. Hallelujah. Don't justify the first action. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like, you know, my child did something to your child. My child hit your child. Now, no, I didn't teach my child to hit. All right? And you bring my child, your child hit my child. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll correct them. You want to see me correct them, I'll correct them. But first tell me why my child hit your child. Tell me why. Well, it's because my child hit your child. Oh, is that right? John, I want you to say sorry. You be big enough to say sorry. But I'm also expecting Mike to apologize. All right. I hope we understand. Oh, God. Amen. We teach John to apologize. But we also teach John to defend himself. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. He did turn the other cheek. He took one too many punches. All right. I'm going to leave that alone. Look at this. He says, looked in under a little glass, and there laid a dress. I said, it's a dress. I don't see nothing so upsetting about that. Wouldn't make a man jump back and say a prayer. He said, but look, I still got the marks of a slave belt around me. He said, and that's the blood of Abraham Lincoln. And the blood of Abraham Lincoln took that slave belt off of me. Wouldn't it excite you too? Brother Branham said, I stood back and I said, if the blood of Abraham Lincoln would excite a slave from taking a belt off of him, what ought the blood of Jesus Christ to do when it's preached power before a church that claims to be born again? What should it do? See, it's greater than just the politics. Amen. It's the spiritual part that we don't want to miss. And I'm going to tell you the reason that we're in the condition that we're in is because spiritually we left God. Amen. We forgot about God. Amen. And in part two, I want to show you some things of where we left God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I believe there was a captain out on the sea, got sick out there on the sea, and he was about to die. And you know, they just begin to, you know, start talking to him about Christianity and say, you know, used to be a Christian. Yeah, yeah, I used to, and I used to this. I say, well, where did you leave God? He say, I think it was probably at the cradle. Say, well, you better go back to the cradle and get him. Right? You better go back and get him. And what we need to do is go back and get God. We left him somewhere along the journey. We had men that prayed, men that fought with courage, men that stood with principle. They declared certain things wrong and were willing to give their life for it. Abraham Lincoln gave his life for it. Hallelujah. Because it was wrong. In order to be an American, I have to be identified with a glory and with a shame. Amen. I wouldn't trade living here
from living anywhere else in the world. I thank God to live here. But I also know this nation is not a Christian nation. Not no more. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord that has been given to us, Lord. God, and as we just continue forward in this journey, we're talking about how history is repeating itself. We can look at history in Israel's day and look at history in the U.S. God, it's repeating itself. It's repeating itself. But God, help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to catch spiritually, Lord, and escape. We don't have to be caught up in the midst of all this stuff. So much sin is around us. Men have forgotten God. And because they've forgotten God, they're paying the price. Israel had to pay the price. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord Jesus, to realize that we don't have to be bound in sin and shame. God, it's the enemy that would love to keep us in that condition. And Lord, as I just read the story of how a man was excited, it caused him to cry when he just saw the cloth that Abraham Lincoln was wearing and the blood that was on it. It caused him to cry because he realized a man gave his life that he might go free. And God, help us to realize that you gave your life at Calvary's cross that we too might go free. We don't have to live, amen, a life of, amen, a halfway Christian, be bound in sin and defeated by the enemy. But, oh, God, we can rise, amen, with true victory, true freedom. We can experience it, oh, God, walking in that liberty that Christ only can give. We pray, oh, God, that you would just help us to catch it. Help us to see, Lord, what you're trying to show us in this hour. And may many, Father, go free from the slave belt of sin. May they go free, God. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Solomon, I'll turn the service over to you to close us out. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Those that are joining us online, we will finish this sermon in the next service. Amen. As we have a part two to this. Amen. And we just pray that the Lord would just bless our journey. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Before we stand to our feet and sing this song, just received a prayer request from Brother Jimmy. His granddaughter is being rushed to the hospital. She has something growing in her chest, so she needs a touch from the Lord. And also his sister-in-law, Doris, is being rushed to the hospital as well. So we want to go before the throne of grace and intercede for these. Amen. Let's bow our hearts, our heads. Almighty God, Father God, even now, this morning, as your word is going forth, Lord, and Brother Jimmy standing faithfully at his post of duty, Lord, and the enemy has come in, Lord, to try and distract him, Lord, but being in your presence, Lord, his faith has increased and our faith has increased, Lord God, and we bind the hand of Satan, Lord, that would touch this child and touch his sister, Lord. Father God, we just ask that you move in a mighty way, Lord. Father, we claim their lives, Lord, and claim their health in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, oh God, sending forth your word along with the Holy Ghost, Lord, to the place where they are, Lord. May you meet them there. Lord, relieve them, Lord God, of the hand of Satan upon their lives, Father God. Father, touch them and raise them up, Lord God. We rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. Lord, we commit them into your precious and loving hands, Lord. Trusting, oh God, that we'll receive, Lord, Lord, a good report, Lord, that both, Lord God, are healed, Lord God. Not only that, that their souls are saved, recognizing the hand of Almighty God upon their lives. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Will you stand to your feet? Let's sing this little song together. Amen. We are grateful for the freedom, Lord, that we have. Amen.
I am free, praise the Lord. but I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me, my soul is resting, it's just a blessing. Say praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm free, I am free, I am free. Say praise the Lord, I'm free, no longer bound, oh, no more chains holding me, my soul is resting. Oh, it's just a blessing. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Come on, one more time. Say, I am free. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. And no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. And it's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. And I am free to run. I am free today. I am free to live for you. Say, I am free. Oh, I am free. Say, I am free to run. Oh, I am free to dance. And I am free to live for you. Say, I am free. Say, I am free. Oh, I am free to run. Yes, and I am free to dance. I am free to live for you. Say, I am free. Say, I am free. Say, I am free. I'm free. Oh, I am free. I am free.
Hallelujah. Almighty God, Lord, we celebrate our liberty, Lord, not only, Lord, in this nation, but in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has made us free. Father, thinking of the little story that our pastor just told while closing, Lord, of the slave, Lord, rejoicing over his liberty, Father God. And then our prophet stepping back, Lord, and rejoicing over the liberty that you have made us free, Lord, by your blood, by the price that you paid. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for all things that you have done, Lord, and reflecting it even in this nation, Father. We're so grateful for all things, Lord, and as we approach your coming, Lord, may we walk in the liberty that you have given us, Lord, and refuse to be conquered, Lord. Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless and strengthen and encourage your people, Lord God, as we continue, Lord, to walk towards your coming, Lord, as we shall see things get worse, Lord, but we won't be conquered.
Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to strengthen, Lord, our pastor, Lord, as he prepares his heart for the next service to bring again your truth to your people, Lord. Encourage him, Father God, to preach your word without fear or favor, Lord. Have your way with him, Lord. Bless all of your ministering servants, Lord. Bless all the people that hear and believe. As we prepare to leave this place, Lord, bless your children now. Grant traveling mercies to us all. Bless the next service, we pray. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats. I am free to run. And I am free to dance. I am free to live for you.